Hello, podcaster. Thank God it's Friday. And thanks for grabbing the podcast for today. We want to remind you, tomorrow's podcast, one you don't want to miss. Special show only for podcast, a one-on-one interview with Carol Swain, who is a remarkable woman. Started out as a black girl in poverty beyond most Americans' understanding. And we will talk to her about her journey to the highest levels of academia and then them chasing her out because she's a conservative. That's tomorrow's podcast. Make sure you you subscribe and then rate and please review. It helps other people discover it. Okay. Today, we've got a lot to cover. We have the government shutdown and the people who are suffering. Did you know they could get unemployment? Apparently some didn't, and CNN didn't even know. They told a very heartbreaking story about Baby Harper. And Baby Harper is on life support. She's on a breathing tube, and it's a tragic story. But CNN wanted to point out that Dad isn't getting paid because he works for the government, and he's very concerned that the electricity will be shut off and Baby Harper won't be able to breathe.
The media and the left just love their babies, Glenn.
Yeah, they control themselves. I know they do. Wait till you hear the end of that story. And speaking of babies, we have more on the abortion thing and a couple of takes, one from me and also one from Bill O'Reilly, who joined us.
I thought that's where you're going when you said speaking of babies, but no. Yeah, Bill O'Reilly was on with us for the whole hour, reacting to everything from, from the week's news.
Also, an update on what happened today with Roger Stone, and will this make a difference? The answer is no. If Donald Trump was honest in his testimony, not going to make any difference. If he wasn't, by chance, it's starting to close around him. So we'll just have to wait for the facts. But the facts of what happened with Roger Stone and the indictment, all on today's podcast.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Field of Greens, a product that is a real superfood. I mean, superfood is really ridiculous. You look at the container and it has supplement facts. Well, if it has supplements, then it's not a superfood, man. It means that it's a bunch of stuff ground up and then they put a bunch of other stuff in it to make it a superfood. Brickhouse Nutrition, they've created Field of Greens, and it's real superfood. You look at it, it just says nutrition facts. It doesn't have any supplement facts. It's nutrition because it's an actual superfood. One scoop of Field of Greens has a full serving of real certified vegan, vegetarian, and USDA organic fruits and vegetables, complete with prebiotics, probiotics, and antioxidants. It's your daily clean energy fueled by fruits and vegetables for a better year this year. Try it now. BrickHouseGlen.com. Go there now. BrickHouseGlen.com. Use the promo code Glenn. Get 15% off your first order. BrickHouseGlen.com and experience a better you tomorrow. I just want to read you something from Brian Stelter, who, you know, is the guardian of journalism. He's the guy who look out for, you know, he's gonna tell the truth. He's going to make sure that nobody's pulling any funny business. Nobody's, you know, cramming an agenda anywhere.
Oh, cool.
They're taking the real hard look at the news, and they are a dependable news agency.
And we need people like that.
We sure do. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, Brian Stelter is not one of those people. This is from his little newsletter that he sent out last night. Stay shocked is the headline. We're 5 weeks into this self-inflicted wound. The shutdown was embarrassing on day one and even more embarrassing on day 35. Now, that sounds like a neutral journalist, doesn't it?
Yeah, he's just telling us how embarrassing it was on which days it was embarrassing.
Exactly right.
That's all.
He's just reporting the facts. Mm-hmm. A challenge for journalists. Don't get numb to the pain and the political posturing. This type of story is the one that gets bigger as time goes on. Wow. Wow.
Well, there are real effects, Glenn.
I know.
And I'm glad that there's people out there guarding the gates of journalism to make sure that they're focusing on a story that could be harmful to President Trump. I mean, if you don't remind them, they're not going to remember to look for things that are bad for the Trump presidency. Mm-hmm. They're going to sit back all day and just report really good economic news. And you got to remind them to keep back and keep looking towards the White House for any story that could potentially be negative.
Well, they finally put their gaze out to the heartland of America, and they found some of the suffering people from this shutdown. And here's one of them. Meet Harper. 15-month-old Harper, born prematurely, needs a breathing tube. This was reported by CNN just last night. See, here's the picture of poor little Harper. Mm. See how cute she is?
She is cute.
Yeah. And what does the banner underneath say? Can you read?
The banner says, it's pretty far away, but a Kentucky couple whose child needs a breathing tube, concerned about electricity being turned off while not getting paid. Well, wow. that's what happens when you... When the government shuts down because of Donald Trump solely, then there are issues with paying bills and the electricity could be turned off and the breathing machine could be turned off and this child could, I mean, God only knows what could happen.
Well, Donald Trump has said that he would, he'd negotiate, but there is no negotiation in this. There's no negotiation. You got to stand your ground. Of course, when somebody wearing a MAGA hat is just standing in place and doesn't move, NBC will lecture that kid you shouldn't stand your ground, that you should retreat. But it's different for Nancy Pelosi and everybody else. Anyway, here's the story. It's hard to read. Little Harper, her dad, Chris, is a data processing assistant for the IRS. He's working without pay. His wife, Allie, says they're going to run out of money in another month or so. And they're concerned about the electricity being turned off. And that is the electricity that powers Harper's ventilator. How do you people not have a heart?
I mean, that's amazing. Especially, thankfully, we have the left that is here for us and cares so much about babies being alive that they can show that utter concern for this particular one.
Yeah.
I mean, sure, there's, a few dozen million that they haven't cared all that much about. But think about this one.
Well, this one's out of the womb for 15 months.
Oh, okay.
And so they care about them. They don't care about them half out of the womb. But after they're out of the womb for 15 months, if the mom still wants to keep the child, we should care about this child.
I will say we should, of course, give the mother the opportunity to choose whether she keeps that ventilator on.
Well,
because
she may
it's
not
her
even,
choice.
Can I tell you something? If she would have known that the kid was going to be born prematurely and then have all these medical problems and be such a hassle, she probably should have aborted little Harper, don't you think?
Well, certainly her choice to do so, Glenn.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't recommend it. But I'm sure those on the left see the drain that poor Harper really is on the family and on society. But let me just point this out. Now, this took about a minute of research on something that not a lot of people have. Certainly CNN doesn't have this, called Google. It's G-O-O.
French?
G-L-E. And I think it has the accent de grande. What do you call that thing? That little hash mark?
Sure.
Yeah, it's got one of those. So I don't know how to pronounce it, but I think you can find it. Well, you just look for it because CNN doesn't have it. But I did literally about a minute's work. I just Googled ADA rules about power shutoffs. And I got here protections against power shutoffs, and I printed it. Now, this is all in a minute. I printed this and also the sample letter that you would need from your doctor. So I've printed them both off. I don't know if they still have mail service in Kentucky or if they have ever gotten that because of evil Donald Trump. But here's the thing. Because of the ADA, you cannot turn off the electricity of someone who has life-dependent machines running in the house. And all you really need to do, and I know this is such a hassle, but all you need to do is just type up a quick letter. And I have the example. I could send it to the family. And the doctor just needs to say, hey, there's a 15-month-old baby in this house. named Harper. Doesn't matter why the family is unemployed. The family could be, you know, running a crack house, and there's no demand for crack right now. And so they need to have their electricity, even though they can't pay. And it's against the law for the power company to turn off the power. Now, I know that was a lot of work for CNN to figure out, but we did it for them.
You should send them the Google thing you're talking about. Because
I think they should have that.
Yeah, that's unfair. You have an advantage over them.
I know. I have things that CNN just couldn't figure out. When I read that story last night, I could not believe it. It is illegal to shut off power to people's houses. You can't just shut it off. If there is someone with life-saving equipment that is run by electricity, it is illegal to shut it off for any reason other than natural disaster or, you know,
mistake, right?
A mistake or anything God can't control, right? But it is very clear you can't do that.
And that's the ADA, right?
ADA.
Americans with Disabilities
Act. You would think that CNN, because you always hear CNN and liberal journalists saying, you know, well, the ADA, and we need to strengthen the ADA. Well, here it is. It's protecting this poor little girl and the family. CNN just used this family. Now, I'm not saying that this family in Kentucky isn't struggling. I'm not saying that if you've been furloughed or if you're working, I don't even know how that's legal.
I don't know how it's legal either.
But you should talk to your Democratic senators, because I actually do know how it's legal. The reason why we can say you have to come back to work, but we're not going to pay you, is because the government politicians want to be able to have that vice. Because if we could just say, okay, everybody's got to come back to work because you are an essential employee, the TSA, IRS, whatever. You guys all have to come back to work, and we have to pay you, because nowhere, it's slavery to do others. The only reason why they have that is so the politicians, when they shut down the government and they want that squeeze, they can say, oh, look at these poor people. They're not getting paid. And they're working anyway without pay. This is a game. And every single person that's been furloughed, I'm sorry, but the person to blame are your Congress people, because Congress is the one that can change that law. They choose not to.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
All right, Bill O'Reilly is here from BillO'Reilly.com. Welcome, Bill.
Very warm welcome, gentlemen. Thank you very much. So, my day is off to a great start.
Boy, it is. I tell you, we were relieved. Bill, I'm so excited to hear your take on all of the things that have happened, because this has been a big week. But let's start with the latest breaking news of Roger Stone. Can you fill me in on what's happening with Roger Stone?
Maybe. But okay. First, I'm just going to concentrate on the fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. Okay. So I'm going to go into the enlightenment area now.
All right. Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
So I don't know anything about Roger Stone. Never met him. Never talked to him. Looks like kind of a crazy guy to me.
Yeah.
He's got a big tattoo all over his back.
Of Nixon.
87 years old. I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
There should be a limit, by the way, in tattoo parlors. If you're over 28, you can't get one.
Constitutional Amendment Bill? Is that how you go about that?
I was really hoping for a little more enlightenment.
Yeah, I'm going to give you something in enlightenment.
All right.
Now.
Okay.
Okay. So Mueller, when he started investigating this Russian collusion allegation, he basically have a chart, and I know this to be true, and there's names on the chart. It's a flow chart that says Trump campaign, and there's a, you know, maybe 30 names, maybe 40 on the chart. And he looked into all of them. He looked into all of these people that were working directly with Donald Trump in some capacity. So that's where you start. So Roger Stone was a gadfly, somebody who was around Trump, wanted to curry favor with Trump, advised him on certain things. No, he knew Trump for a long time.
And he is the Nixon original dirty trickster. I mean,
yeah,
this is a guy who has a really bad past.
Consultant, a political consultant.
Right.
And there's tons of these people. And then they're hired by groups or PACs or whatever, and they go get this one, find dirt on that one, do right. whatever you want. But in the initial thrust of the Trump campaign, everybody wanted to curry favor with Donald Trump. Everybody in his organization who wanted to work for him, get on a campaign, they all wanted his attention. That's very important for everybody to understand. Everybody wanted Trump's attention. Not easy to get because his attention spans about 20 seconds. You got to bring something pretty big to get Donald Trump's attention. So Stone had some kind of relationship with the WikiLeaks crew. Remember mm-hmm. WikiLeaks?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
All right. So the WikiLeaks people hacked in and found out bad stuff about Hillary Clinton and her campaign. Stone was the middleman there talking to WikiLeaks, and they give him gossip. And then he'd run back to the Trump campaign and tell him the gossip. Oh, this is what WikiLeaks hacked in. This is what they're going to have. This is what we're going to see. That's what Stone did. That's who he is. All right? He's the middleman gossip guy. So when the investigation came, when Mueller launched, they brought Stone in and said, were you the middleman gossip guy? Stone goes, no. That's why he's indicted.
So let me go here and let me change it slightly onto the media. Now, the media happened to be there at Roger Stone's house.
Yeah, it was a coincidence.
It was. It was good.
Yeah,
it,
yeah.
I love this.
Walking down a street in Florida and the mm-hmm. FBI go, hey, we're gonna arrest Roger Stone. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The CNN anchor actually said, good job following your gut and being there on this one.
Oh,
following their gut. Following. They happened to be there with a camera crew.
It
wow.
was the same thing like Flake in the elevator at the Senate when the CNN crew was right behind the fanatical far left person who was yelling at Flake. She just happened to be there. So
okay.
Mueller, somebody in Mueller's crew, probably in the FBI, is speculation. This isn't enlightenment now. Now I'm into speculation.
Now let me go
probably
to
the FBI, gave somebody a call and said they're going to be here, so show up.
Let me go now to the hat and the smirk.
All right, so now we're going over to the Kentucky kids. We're finished with Roger Stone.
Yes.
Is that okay,
good.
Bill? Did you have anything else you wanted to add to that?
No.
Okay.
All right, good, good, good. All right, go ahead. Go ahead.
All right, what do you want me to, what question do you want on the Kentucky kids? You want me to
here's the thing. First of all, is this a story that is beyond the hat? If that kid wasn't wearing the hat,
yeah.
would we even know this story?
No. No, it's all about Trump. Everything's about Trump. Everything. All right, so the kid and his friends are at the pro-life rally because a lot of Catholic school kids go every year,
mm-hmm.
all right? So it was a mistake for the kid to wear the hat, by the way. If I had been the, as you guys know, I'm a former high school teacher. If I had been the advisor on that trip, I would have said no political paraphernalia because we're here for a moral reason and we want everyone of every party.
Don't know if he wore it to the march. It looked like a new hat. And, you know, you're coming home with a souvenir. I don't know if he brought the hat or just got the hat.
I would have worn it in the context of being at the pro-life demonstration.
Correct.
If I were the advisor, I would have advised against that.
But he was now getting ready to get on the bus. So
yes.
Do you have a right to wear a hat and not be accused of crimes?
I have a constitutional right to wear it, although the advisor being attached to the school could have said don't wear it
mm-hmm.
and the kid could not have overridden that, but mm-hmm. as an American says, he has a right to write whatever he wants.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about what's appropriate,
mm-hmm.
all right,
mm-hmm.
and why I would have, as an advisor, said, no political stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We're just here as Catholics, and we're here as Christians in a right-to-life context. We're not doing politics today.
All right.
So the question, though, is would the press have latched on this and viciously attacked these kids had they worn a Joe Biden for president hat? And the answer is absolutely not.
Bill, if you have, and I've been trying to find an example of this, and we saw it a bit of it.
I think you have pretty good perspective on it, but let's just advance it a little bit further.
Okay.
And because everybody knows what happened, you can make up your own mind as a listener. I mean, we saw the video. We know that mm-hmm. the kids were not at fault. We know the media viciously attacked the kids. And the media maybe, we're sorry, but they're not really sorry.
No, they're not at all.
No,
the NBC interviews show they don't care at all.
Not sorry. I mean, it's like Savannah Guthrie, who's not, she's not a political fanatic. She takes orders. Right.
Yes,
and her
yes,
orders were,
yes.
Don't be mean, but be skeptical.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So,
and don't
story,
be skeptical with Nathan Phillips.
The story for the media. And if you read my column, brand new column on BillO'Reilly.com, the story that the media now is advancing is that, maybe this wasn't the kid's fault, but anyone who wears a Trump hat is triggering. There you go. There's the word.
Mm-hmm.
Triggering. Bad feeling in America.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a Trump hat or socks or a bumper sticker, you are a trigger for negativity in America. That is the story. And the media is basically trying to set up a scenario where if you don't vote for the Democrat for president, no matter who it is, you're an evil, bad person.
Well, if you're wearing a Trump hat, you're wearing a Trump t-shirt, you've got a Trump 2020 sticker on your car, you are a bad person.
You're evil.
So what they're doing is if you have a Trump sign, Trump 2020 sign in your front yard, you can be attacked because you're obviously a bad person who's just trying to trigger people in the neighborhood.
That's right. And these kids, we weren't fair. We, the media, weren't fair. But they deserved what they got because they had the hat on.
Mm-hmm.
So if everybody understands that, if all American voters understand the hatred that is going to be the theme of the next presidential race, it's all about hate, not about the economy anymore, not about China, not about Putin. It's about hate.
All right. I'm going to pick it up with Bill O'Reilly where we left off here and also take it to New York abortion and the school shooting that happened someplace. School shooting this last week didn't get any coverage whatsoever. Bill O'Reilly, let's continue down this road just a little bit.
All right.
We filed for a Freedom of Information Act on Nathan Phillips.
Mm-hmm.
And his war record. Do you know what he did?
Well, he's a Marine, right?
He was in the Marines. He was an infantryman for 2 days, and then they transferred him, and he became a refrigerator repairman. He was
in the Marines.
In the Marines. He spent his time as a refrigerator mechanic. And then he went AWOL twice. His records show that his trial records were not included with our Freedom of Information Act request. So I think we have to request for those as well. I'm not sure if we can get those. But he went AWOL two times.
Maybe he had frostbite.
Well, I'm not sure. It is cold in the refrigerator, especially if you're in Nebraska during the years after the Vietnam War.
They spotted you pretty quickly with that FOIA request. You got that stuff fast.
Yeah, I know. I was shocked. I didn't expect it.
They're terrified of you.
Sure they are.
Look, I don't know who this guy is. With the drum, I don't care who he is. Doesn't matter to me who he is. He's out there. He's at a pro live demonstration with a drum banging it. Okay, I mean, it's not the kind of guy you want to have dinner with.
Yeah, no, he was at a he was at a Native Americans No Border rally.
And then he segued over to the pro-life rally.
Yeah, then he just walked over to the boys who were getting onto a bus after the pro-life rally. I mean, the guy is an anti-border guy, which is why he went to the kid with the red hat. He was trying to prove a point, no borders.
Okay, so, you know, there are nuts everywhere, and when I see the press, basically, I think it was the Washington Post, say that it was a Vietnam vet, my first feeling was, I don't believe the Washington Post. Not because the guy couldn't have been a Vietnam vet. It certainly could have. He was at that age. But it's the Washington Post. They don't check anything.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to check anything. It's going to, they had a vet, bang. That puts the narrative, he's in a higher plane, so we use it. And then it went, well, we're sorry. Well, how many times is he going to be sorry over there? You know, you got that little Pinocchio thing that you do on everybody else. You know, why don't you do it on yourself? How many retractions are we going to get from the far left press?
So
single day we get them now.
But here's what concerns me. You had NBC, Washington Post, CBS. You had all of the usual suspects.
All of them.
And
absolutely.
At first they reported it. Okay, mistake. Then new information comes out, and they say, oops, sorry. But they don't retract all of it. They just say, hey, there's new facts emerge. Well, that's not an apology. New facts emerge. Then they stick with this. They stick with the story. And it is a provable fact with videotape. And here's what I want to ask you, Bill. The press has crossed the Rubicon. They have crossed a line now from where you could say, well, I don't know. You could look at it that way. You could, if I'm going to be really, really generous, you could give them the benefit of the doubt. There is no other story other than they knowingly are lying. If this is what they're doing today with videotape, what are they not willing to do?
Number one, Julius Caesar would have executed everybody in the press by this point. So if we were in the Rubicon, that would have, you know, they would have all been dead. Number two, this is actually a good thing for honest Americans. So this whole thing is good for the country, this Covington High School snafu. Because now even the dimmest of us cannot defend the national media any longer. You cannot walk out of your house and go, oh, they're fair. Oh, I believe the New York Times, the Washington Post, they're fair. They're giving me the news that I need to make a responsible decision. You can't do that. Nobody can do that. You'll be laughed at. Even the far left kooks will laugh at you. Oh, come on. You know they're in our pocket. We have them. So it's, you know, this brought it over. BuzzFeed just set this up. All right. BuzzFeed set it up because people paid attention to the kids. Nobody pays attention to BuzzFeed. And by the way, Beck and Stu, did you know that NBC invested $200 million into BuzzFeed?
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that?
Wow. No, I did not know that.
They're the biggest backer. Comcast, the biggest backer of BuzzFeed.
We're back with Mr. Bill O'Reilly. And Bill, you're a New Yorker. You're a Catholic. And I don't think you're a Cuomo supporter. Cuomo has gone off the deep end with this new abortion law, and the left is lying about it, saying that it doesn't include any reason whatsoever up until birth, which it absolutely does.
Sure, it's infanticide, and yes. Anybody honest would know it. I've known a Cuomo family 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
Decent relationship with Andrew Cuomo. So I'm going to tell you a story I've never told publicly, but now I can tell it because of the developments. So about 7 years ago, Cardinal Dolan came to me He's the head of the New York Archdiocese, and said they got this pending bill about abortion on demand at any time in Albany. Can you talk to Governor Cuomo about it? Maybe it was 5 years ago. I was in Los Angeles. So I said, Your Eminence, I'll do what I can. But I've got to keep it in a professional way. I've got to say to him, look, here's the situation, and this is why the cardinal is concerned, and I have to have your permission to do that. I can't do it as a private citizen, even though I'm against it. He doesn't care what I think. I put in a call to the governor, and he did get back to me very promptly, and we had a very nice discussion for about 45 minutes about the bill. And at the end of the discussion, he said, well, let me think about it. I'm not going to do anything on it now, which he did. Now, his argument for the bill was not that he believed it. He didn't. He said he didn't believe in it, that he was a good Catholic and all of that. But his job was not to impose his religion on anyone. And the liberals in New York wanted it, you know, the usual. But he did table it for a while. Never pushed it, never really got beyond. But once the Democrats got both chambers of the New York legislature, the far left came to him and said, you're going to do this or we're going to attack you. And of course, you know, Cuomo said, okay, well, I'm going to do it. And that's what happened.
All right. So
now,
we have
my beef.
Yeah,
my beef on it is Cardinal Dolan. And Cardinal Dolan should basically be out there in front of St. Patrick's Cathedral saying, look, this is infanticide. You have to have some standards on abortion. You just can't say I'm going to give birth in a week and I'm panicking because my boyfriend left or my husband left and I don't want the baby, so the baby's going to be terminated. That just can't happen in a civilized society, and I think all of your listeners would agree with that. But Dolan doesn't do that. And unless you bring moral power to these arguments, you're going to lose it, particularly in states like California and New York.
So a story that I've never shared, Cuomo called my office about 5 years ago and wanted to meet with me privately. The word was that he just wanted to show that, you know, we had a lot of things that we had in common. And I thought it was very weird, and I knew it was because he was wanting to run for president, and I never took the meeting. That gave me reason to believe that one of the reasons why he was doing this now was because maybe he wanted to run for president in 2020. But I since have had another thought, and this came to me yesterday, Bill. I read a story right after the election, you know, when everybody was like, wow, how did Trump win? And one person said, which I thought was accurate, that Trump won because he could capitalize on the fear of the Supreme Court, and conservatives always respond to that. And in this article, it said, it was written by a lefty, and it said that's something that the left doesn't do. The right responds to that, but the left doesn't. With Ruth Bader Ginsburg in very poor health, we all know that somehow or another, I mean, she's going to retire or she will, you know, pass away here in the next 5 years. And there will be a very important slot open on the Supreme Court. I think this has been passed in its most radical form to activate the most radical of the left, to signal to them that we're your people that will get it done. And also to get a court case coming up, bubbling up, so they can make this about Kavanaugh and who else, what other radical white man will drag you back into the cave to overturn this historic women's rights legislation. What are your thoughts?
I don't buy that because that bill was there for so long and it just was politically expedient now for Cuomo to do it. He does want to run for president, by the way. Cuomo does want to be president.
Yes.
All right. But he's got headwinds in a form of Joe Biden. He can't beat Biden on the moderate track. Yesterday, Biden came out and said he likes Republicans in Michigan. That's the clear signal. Look, I'm not a loon like the rest of my party is. All right. So Cuomo knows he can't beat Biden. If Biden were to say, I'm not going to run a month from now, I think Cuomo may get in. Anyway, you have basically essentially a split in the Democratic Party between the Democrats who know that the Ocasio-Cortezes and these people are going to ruin the party, because Americans are not going to vote for socialism, never, even though the press promotes these people all day long, and it looks like they're mainstream now. They're really not. They're really out there, okay? And most Americans aren't going to buy into the government taking your stuff, which is what it comes down to. And the final thing about this thing is that, you know, we live in a country that doesn't really, as I've said many times, I don't want to be boring about it, pursue the truth anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, abortion is the law of the land. It's not going to change. Roe v. Wade's not going to be overturned. But the states, the individual states, have a right under the Constitution to regulate how a life-ending procedure is
executed.
Put forth. Mm-hmm. The states have the absolute right to do that. And that's what the Democrats don't want. They want the federal government to have a blanket and say, you can have abortion for any reason at any time. And that's what Hillary Clinton, that was a big mistake that she made. All right. And that's it.
All right.
So it's you know, is that really the kind of society you want? Even the Western European nations, about as secular and liberal as you get, they don't have that. Is that what you want? Is this what we want here? That's how it has to be framed. It can't be framed as a women's rights thing. This is what they do all day long. And by the way, when I said in December, you may remember this, that Ginsburg, I don't believe that she's ever going to sit in the court again.
Yeah.
That's how ill she is.
Yes, I know.
You saw how I was attacked.
Yeah.
I was attacked by Meghan McCain on The View. Oh, you're unchristian. Calling me unchristian for what? Reporting the truth?
Bill O'Reilly.
It is a very, very intense issue and a very intense time in this country.
Let me ask one last question. This is about the shutdown. If you listen to the press and if you read the polls, the president is really hurting badly from this shutdown. Now there's no State of the Union next week. I don't know why he gave on that. I don't know why he just didn't take up Ted Cruz's offer to come to the Senate or just go do something himself on that night. How's this looking for the president? How is he weathering this?
As soon as that happened, I was surprised. So I called my contacts who have very, very close to Donald Trump. Okay. So they say to me, we believe that in the long run, Nancy Pelosi refusing to allow the president to give this address is going to hurt the Democratic Party. That's the conclusion the White House has come to. Short run, Trump lost, no doubt about it. Long run, people are going to remember what a bad person Nancy Pelosi is. They couldn't do a venue outside the Capitol, excuse me, because the networks wouldn't cover it, wouldn't get any coverage at all. And even after he gave the address, he gave a rally in Texas or Oklahoma, networks wouldn't cover a rally either. Okay, we'd have got nothing. He could have done it, as I suggested, on the steps of the Capitol.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
As Abraham Lincoln, U.S. Grant did.
Yes.
Okay? And he could have said, you know, a little cold out here. A little cold. I'd rather be inside because I should be inside. But we have a fascist House of Representatives leader, and so I'm here. But the State of the Union, and then he goes and gives a speech.
Yeah. I agree with you, and I mean I'm so close to I'm amazed at how close in some ways Donald Trump is to the tactics just updated for today's world of Ronald Reagan. And in this, I could hear him saying, "Ms. Pelosi, build this wall." I mean,
yeah,
it is,
and I'm
it's
sure
crazy.
He'll use that line. Somewhere down. But the government shut down. Everybody wants it over. All right. Trump wants it over. Everybody wants it over. So I suspect in the next few days, they'll come to some kind of thing where the government will be opened up. That'll probably happen. But the war, and it is that, goes on. And, you know, I'm sitting here and I'm saying, you know, the casualties of this war are the American people. That's who's getting hurt by this unbelievable hatred that is being fostered by the press. I want to say again, I explain why the American media has fallen apart in a new column on BillO'Reilly.com. Just a quick headline, 1983, 50 corporations controlled 90% of the national press. 2019, six conglomerates, six control 90% of the press. And believe me, they're organized and they hate Trump. And one more thing, killing ESS number 9 on the New York Times list after 4 months in the marketplace this coming Sunday.
What do we need to do to get it back up there, Bill? We need to get it up to 2 or 3. What do we need to do?
Yeah, I mean, it's just awareness. It's situational awareness. The book has got great word of mouth. Yeah. Glenn Beck, you know, one of my big promotions is Glenn Beck actually read this book.
No, it's a great.
What?
No,
it's got to be great. You
know, he can read.
I've read some of your books and most of your books actually, and you know, with Patton, I have the toe tag, so I can prove that you're wrong on that one. But on this one, it's truly remarkable. It's a great read. It's one of those things you just won't put down if you haven't read it. Killing the SS by Bill O'Reilly. It is available now, and I'd love to see it bump back up. Bill, thank you so much. God bless.
All right, guys. Talk next week.
Thanks, Bill.
Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
Hi, it's Glenn. If you're a subscriber to the podcast, can you do us a favor and rate us on iTunes? If you're not a subscriber, become one today and listen on your own time. You can subscribe on iTunes. Thanks. So for some reason, CNN has the greatest gut in the world. They sent a camera crew down to Florida to stake out Roger Stone's house on the day they came to arrest him. But the reporter on CNN, the anchor, was clear when he said, boy, good job following your gut on that one.
That was hilarious. I was listening to that today. And you know, look, the obvious thing that happened here probably is someone in the FBI tipped off CNN or the local reporter that was working with CNN to go down there and go out in front of Roger Stone's house at 5 in the morning. You don't just hang out in front of Roger Stone's house at 5 in the morning for no reason.
Well, okay, for no reason.
Okay, there you go.
Yes, okay,
I did. I want to add that qualifier.
Right, okay, good. I'm sure.
Because a lot of
I'm
people
sure
do.
There have been people that have hung out in front of Roger Stone's house at 5 a.m., but they all had a reason.
They all had a reason.
We probably shouldn't get into some of those reasons.
But yes, the anchor was like, by the way, I just want to congratulate you on your instincts.
Oh,
what do you mean, your reporter instincts? Of course he was tipped off. And I mean, that's going to be...
I don't know, Stu. I've got a nose for news.
Yeah. I just thought this was a good day, a good random Friday to get up at 3 a.m., hang out at Roger Stone's house in the front yard.
With a camera.
Did you hear his excuse, though?
No.
His excuse was, I just happened to notice a little bit of extra, you know, activity going on at the Justice Department that day. So obviously that means Roger Stone.
Oh,
and a few extra clerks walked in. Yeah. You're like, oh, yeah. Roger Stone, instantly,
whoa,
boom.
Boom. That's incredible.
So ridiculous.
So anyway. So what does this mean? Now, we've had Jason, who is our head researcher, head writer for the program. He went over the indictment that came up after we went on the air.
So I'm always the guy reading the indictments.
I know.
The longer it is.
I pay you to read so I don't have to. I get the executive brief and I love it. Okay, so tell me what this thing said.
All right, so if you've read this or seen this, I'm going to save you a whole lot of heartache right now because these things read like stereo instructions, straight up stereo instructions. You know, person A to slot 2 to, and nothing makes any sense.
Right.
The biggest people that they're calling out here, they're saying Organization 1, which is pretty obvious, that's WikiLeaks. They're involved, and two other people are involved with this Roger Stone indictment. They're calling person 1 and person 2. Now, they have to say this because you can't name U.S. individuals or entities or anything like that. You have to use these code words. So person 1 is Jerome Corsi.
How do you know that?
So that's already been verified in other reports before. That this is the person that Roger Stone has actually said, look, this is my source.
Okay.
They just can't say it in the official documents.
And there have been like full quotes reported in previous news sources that are included in this indictment, like the exact quotes. So in the original reporting, it has the names with it, and then the exact same quote with person one or two is right. in the indictment.
So the subterfuge
it's really
is,
obvious.
It's kind of unnecessary, but they have to legally. Person two is Randy Credico, which also, like what you just said, has always already been verified in other reporting. Randy Credico is a he's a radio comedian host out of New York. I had the same reaction because I was like, how does this guy have access to Julian Assange? Well, the way they're kind of laying it all out is he knows the lawyer for Julian Assange, and he was the one that so Credico is actually the main guy. So Corsi is, even though he's person one, seems like kind of like back fiddle, really.
Okay.
So Credico is the main guy. So the actual indictment is for perjury, for lying to Congress, and for intimidating a witness, which is Credico.
Okay, so stop. So what? Tell me where I have this wrong. What happened was Roger Stone was using back channels to communicate with WikiLeaks, and not necessarily coordinating with them, but they were saying, hey, we've got this on Hillary Clinton. We're going to dump this on the DNC. We have this that's going to happen. And they would tell one of these guys, and one of these guys would tell Roger Stone. Now, if Roger Stone didn't know that that was a Russian group, it's just getting intel on another candidate, correct?
Right. Opposition research.
Okay. So there's nothing illegal about that. It is illegal if they knew that it was a Russian source. But right. I think you could make the case, bad case, but I think you could make the case and win in a court of law that you didn't necessarily know that was Russian. You didn't know that that was a foreign entity that was doing this.
It's not to be against the law, though. It doesn't just have to be Russia. It has to be a foreign entity. Everyone knows WikiLeaks is a foreign entity. I mean, it's kind of hard to say that he didn't. I mean, look, they wanted to do it.
Yeah.
Again, we've seen this several times in this storyline where they wanted to do things that could have theoretically been illegal if they had accomplished them, but didn't necessarily accomplish them.
So, but that even this is not why he's in trouble, in my understanding. What he's in trouble for is he went to Congress and testified under oath and then lied to the FBI under oath that he had no contacts with these guys. And he was not talking to WikiLeaks. He was not talking to Jerome Corsi, and he wasn't talking to this DJ. And so he had no information on that. Well, they've turned Corsi, right? Corsi was,
I believe, he did participate and assist the investigation in some way,
right? And so Corsi said, "Yes, I had contact with WikiLeaks, and I had contact with Roger Stone." Now, what is the intimidation of the DJ?
So it's so blatant. Like it's when you read through it, Roger Stone definitely communicated with these people. It got so like blatant. Like he's like, when is it dropping? Like ask your person in London, which is Assange, exactly when these things are dropping. And at one point, he actually says there's going to be a dump every week, you know, following the main. I mean, so they knew he's caught red-handed. Mm-hmm. The intimidation was after the fact when they're starting to get in trouble. And Stone is telling Credico, do not talk to, you know, the FBI. Do not testify. He's like, you're stupid if you testify. You know, if you testify, my lawyers are coming after you. Like that was one of the intimate. It goes so far as he actually says, I will come and get your dog if you testify. I mean, it's so blatant.
This is not unusual for Roger Stone.
No.
Roger, this is why when Donald Trump, you know, had the advisor of Roger Stone, we immediately said, stop. Roger Stone is not a good guy.
And they separate
early.
He's
a Nixon guy.
Yeah, they separated early in the campaign, if you remember right. But they were still working together in a distant sort of way.
Yes.
And Roger Stone is a known complete liar. The guy says stuff all the time, in my opinion, that are complete lies. You cannot trust a word this man says. And you know what his defense is going to be on this whole situation? I'm a liar, and you can't trust a word that I say. Yeah. He's gone on television and said, look, I'm a hype man. That's his way of saying, I say things all the time that I know aren't true. So he's going to say, I think, claim, look, I knew these things were coming, and I was trying to look more important to the Trump administration.
Yep.
I was trying to say, I'm the man. I've got all this stuff from WikiLeaks. I'm awesome. You should listen to me. In reality, he had very little. At least that's going to be, I think, his defense.
Well, I don't see how he has a defense at all, because he's caught lying to Congress.
Yeah.
It's like,
I mean, that part is like, I don't
you
know
can't get out of that. Intimidating the witness, you cannot get out. He's going to prison. I don't see there's any way out of this.
It's okay. Amazing he hasn't been in prison this whole time.
No, it is.
The guy
is.
Has
it
been
is.
On the guy, verge I mean, of prison for 40 years.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Nixon.
Yeah.
His tattoo on his yes. back is Nixon. He's the original dirty trickster under Nixon. He is unrepentant for anything that they ever did. He is the worst of the worst in politics. And he pretty much admits it. Okay, so what does this mean for the president? He's probably going to jail. Now, what does this mean other than Donald Trump picked some really bad people to be around him? There's nothing at this point to connect him to Donald Trump. There's nothing on collusion or anything else. However, the next guy probably to drop now will be Steve Bannon, because Steve Bannon and Stone were very close. And if Steve Bannon has testified that I had no idea about Roger Stone, I had no idea about WikiLeaks, and if they have evidence that he did, Bannon will be the next to go.
And that's also in the indictment. You can kind of see the chain of other indictments that might happen. So they've already showed that Stone was in communication with these people to get this information. They knew about it. Another unnamed person in this indictment is what they're calling a senior campaign staff member.
And that's Bannon.
It's Bannon. The mm-hmm. reason we know it's Bannon is because they lay out everything that was said in the indictment between Stone and this person. And that email has already been dropped. It's all over the place. It's in the New York Times today, word for word. But in the New York Times version, it's got Steve Bannon's name in the to and from subject line.
Yeah. So here's the problem for Donald Trump. If he has testified and said he didn't know.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.